And I want to share a word today, which I just feel a little bit, well, maybe vulnerable is not quite the right word, but that's, you know, a little bit sensitive about. Could we have the, say now? So the title of my talk today springs out of some words which were shared at the recent Sanctification Week, which I'll touch on in a moment or two. Wake up, O sleeper. And I believe there's a word from the Lord for all of us here. First of all, I'd like to read from Ephesians chapter 1. And I think it's time to bring back Bibles because my trendy slides don't have the whole Bible on there. It's not so cool these days. Although maybe they may come in at some time. But anyway, so if you've got your Bible, I'm looking at Ephesians chapter 1 and starting at verse 15. And this is a prayer from the Apostle Paul to the church. And he says this to them. He says, "Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly." Isn't that brilliant? This is the father of a church. Not stop thanking God for the church. I'm praying for them constantly. And this is what he's praying. He says, "I'm asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance." This isn't working. Can you just stick the next bit on, please, Leonie? "I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church." Amen. It's what Paul's praying for the people, the church which he established in Ephesus. And so as I come and share this morning, I'm wanting to really share, asking us to be prepared to be challenged. If you're visitors here today, I believe the words can apply in your situation too, but I have to admit I'm primarily thinking of the church which gathers here at the Pavilion. And so for the last 2 weeks, we've had what we've called Sanctification Week, Sanctification Days. And I was thinking maybe there's not been any fireworks, the worship has been simple, but there's been a sense of his presence as we've gathered. There have been great words shared as we've spent time together, and some prayer and some ministry. 2 weeks away, with the focus on God, 2 weeks, who actually did go on a media fast? What about the rest of you? Hey? Thank you. Thank you for all those who did. 2 weeks of cutting out media and people who then had social media. Actually, it was all of media. So for me, I couldn't watch the football. And well, we won't go through all that. But 2 weeks of cutting everything out and to focus on the Lord. And it's been good. And do you know what somebody said to me just the other day? "Nev, I'm so sorry this is coming to the end. It's a shame that we couldn't do this all the time." I said, "This is a shame. It's a bit impractical." But then I was reminded, of course, in the New Testament, every day they met together in the temple courts, the large buildings, and they met together in their homes. So it's been a really good 2 weeks of preparation for those which came and enjoyed those. And thank you, John, again, for the notes which you provided for us. But one word we received while we were here gathering was about a dormant spirit over the church. Now, I don't like those sort of words any more than you do. But also, when God's speaking, we need to listen. One of the speakers was speaking on character, and two or three people came up to me the day after and said, "Oh, I didn't think he had the right heart. It was hard to take. It was this, that, and the other. It was condemning." And And I didn't agree with what was being said. I didn't agree with what the person was saying. Sometimes when Jesus brings words, it's not comfortable. And you know, he spoke to his disciples in a pretty direct way. He reserved his harshest words for the religious people. And it wasn't always comfortable, but sometimes we need to hear. And so when we had this word about a dormant spirit, I thought, oh, I don't like that. Why can't you say we're full of life and full of excitement and full of passion and heart? That's the sort of word I want. I would feel much better leaving the room. But actually, I feel God's touching on something really, really important, which I want to try to develop a little bit today. And so as I was mulling over this word, I was thinking, what does it mean? What do we need to do about it? You know, it doesn't sound positive, although I want to bring two aspects today. One's a bit more positive than the other. It doesn't sound positive, but how do we change? And I've got to be honest, receiving a word like that, and being it requires humility on our part. And if we're not humble, we'll never change. But it requires us acknowledging, well, maybe we're not quite where God wants us to be. Just maybe. Maybe there is room for improvement. Maybe there is room for growth. Maybe there is a measure of slumbering in our hearts. Could that be possible? Even here? Yeah, could that be possible? I think so. And so let's hear what God is wanting to say. So there's two perspectives I want to share, but this is how I'm describing what came to us. A dormant spirit, one that's asleep. You're alive, but you're not aware of the circumstances around. When you're asleep, you don't hear, and so you don't respond to whatever's happening. Yeah, I don't know about you, on occasions when I've been youth hosteling and we've had snoring people and people coming in at unearthly hours of the night, I've decided to put earplugs in my ears and blind over my eyes. When I'm on the plane, I've done it. When I'm on the plane, I've done it too. James, I know it's embarrassing, James, and your dad does that. But do you know what? There's a vulnerability which I always feel when I do that, because you're just cutting out all sense of what's around, cutting out even signs of danger. You wouldn't know about it. I just feel maybe with a dormant spirit, it could be like that. You know, there's a blind over here, there's things in our ears, and we're just blocking out unintentionally those senses around. We can't see, we can't hear, we become quite isolated and dead to all around us. I think that's, for me, the effects of a dormant spirit in our lives. So I'm asking us to be honest with God this morning. And ask that question, could that be me? Could that be me? This is how I see it working out. In a spiritual sense, words can be spoken. The presence of God can be strong. The worship can be electric. But nothing connects or resonates when our spirit is dormant. Our spirit's asleep. Maybe we just become accustomed to the things of God. And we become blasé and less alert. We've grown weary. And our spirit, once so full of life and passion, expressed in worship, expressed in service, expressed in love, has just died. It's fallen into a deep sleep. And so my challenge this morning is, well, it's as a church, but you as an individual, does that apply to you? Is your spirit alive to the things of God, or is it fallen asleep? I've mentioned Malcolm's prophecy a couple of times. He prophesied about 2016, going to be a year of ease, capital E's, which includes expectancy, epiphanies, encounters, expansion, and enlargement. But you know, when our spirit is dormant, those words just go over the top of us, and we don't respond. We've probably completely forgotten that they were ever said. We're dead to these words. And we're not taking on board the things which God wants to say. And I think expectancy is such an important E that we need to keep alive in our hearts. But when there's that dormant, slumbering spirit, even expectancy as we gather or expectancy as we go is hard to keep alive. Where there's hope, where there's faith, where there's belief, there's always expectancy. And when our spirit is dormant, there is no expectancy. And yet expectancy can trigger the releasing the things of God into our lives. Because expectancy is so closely aligned to faith. And I'm always challenged about the story in the New Testament. We read about it, I think it's Mark chapter 5, when Jesus came to his hometown of Nazareth. And he'd just been on a healing crusade, and there'd been healings and miracles and deliverances just a few days or week earlier. And he arrives at Nazareth, and it says even Jesus couldn't do anything because there was no belief, there was no faith, and he just worked a few miracles. There was no expectancy. Your familiarity, I can never say that word, familiarity, had come into their lives, and this is his hometown. And they didn't expect anything from this carpenter's boy. And even Jesus, it says, I find it hard to believe, could not release the kingdom of God in power because of the response of their hearts. There was a blindness, there was a coldness. And so, church, I think if that happened to Jesus, could that happen here? Could it be that we just turned off, we're just slow to respond, we're just having a slumber and a sleep, that the words that have been spoken and the purpose and plans of God that he wants to do among us can be reduced and restricted and held back because of our lack of belief and faith and expectancy? I wouldn't like to think that we were greater than Jesus, and if it affected him that way, I think it could also affect us too. So, this is where we're talking about today. One picture which was shared, I'm going to comment on this a bit later too, was about a dam of blessing being held back. And I just wondered, as I was mulling these things over, could it be that our cool response, our lack of faith, is just holding back the blessing and the promises of God? Maybe we're just not ready for all that God wants to do. Are you with me? Just want you to weigh these things up in your heart. We need to pray. We need to be honest. And we need to seek the Lord. Paul, quoting that Old Testament, a New Testament hymn, says, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead." If that's us, that's how we need to respond. We need to recognize, I'm not where I once was. The passion's faded. The light has dimmed. The vision has become less clear. It's time to wake up. It's time to call out to God. It's time to call out for that touch. And as James said already, you know, we will have opportunity for ministry at the end. And I want you in your lethargy and apathy to get out of that chair and walk to the front and say, "Lord, I need a touch from you. I need fire back in my life. I've lost the passion. I've lost the fire. My spirit is dormant." And if your spirit's dormant, it's the last thing you want to do. You just want to stay sat there and go for a coffee. But it could be that this is the time that your life begins to change. It could be a spark comes back to life and is set in fire in your heart if you could actually come out of that chair, come to the front, and receive something more from God. Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead. That's the heart of God for each and every one of us. Other words and pictures. I mentioned the one already. Talked about multitudes about to be poured into the kingdom of God. And the person that brought the word, he shared it with me. He could see this dam as we were praying for the lost. All those names on that cross there and somewhere else. We're going to keep praying for them. But as we were praying, he could see the dam which was holding back salvation beginning to crack. And then there was the sense there was a finger just holding back the flow. Even the finger of God holding back the flow for now. How do we respond? I'm just feeling that connects with what this other word was about that slumbering spirit. And then someone else came to me a day or two later and he said, I just have that. This sense that God wants to bring growth to LifeSpring Church. So very much connecting with that dam. And in fact, the growth is going to continue and the balcony is going to be full, and maybe we'll need more than one service, and it's going to reach the point where we'll reach that tipping point. And then whatever we do, we won't be able to control the growth, because it'll be too late. We'll have to be ready, won't we? We're going to have to be ready. That growth is just going to keep coming. And I thought, how exciting. It's like there's going to be effort, there's going to be energy, two of Malcolm's E's, which we're going to need to get to that place. We're going to have to rise up, we're going to have to wake up, we're going to have to be busy to get to that place of blessing. And then it's like the windows of heaven are going to open, and we've gone past that tipping point, and growth and salvation and life is going to just explode in the church. I love that word. That's the sort I like. But I believe God wants us to get ready. And I believe God wants us to believe and have faith that that's his desire and his heart too. But if we're just asleep, it just goes over our heads. Yeah. Heard it all before. Yeah. Something's got to change. I don't think any of us have experienced that before. I might be wrong. There might be some come from revival situations. But I don't think any of us, and yet something resonates in my spirit. This is the plan and the purpose of God for this church here, insignificant as it might seem compared to others. And yet God wants to pour out blessing that we might be a blessing. Hallelujah. So church, have you responded to that? If it is just, yeah, I just want to say, is that spirit dormant? Has it gone to sleep? Is it unable to catch the heart of God again? We need to repent, that horrible word, it's a word of blessing actually. We need to recognize, say, Lord, that's me, but I don't want it to be me. I want to change. So Paul prays. We read the prayer, we saw the prayer. I don't know where we are with this now. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has in us. To those he's called, his holy people, who are rich, his rich and glorious inheritance. And before he says, I keep praying, God will give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. So it's important that our eyes are opened to see. We all need revelation from the Holy Spirit. His plans for us are too vast. Remember last week I read out a number of scenarios and it was just like, but God wants to do way above all of this too. Because he says way beyond what you can imagine or even think about. I want to do. That's God's plan and his heart, because he loves the world and he loves us. And he's calling us to be part of that future. So I'm praying that dullness and sleepiness goes, that our eyes and our minds are opened in response to Paul's prayer, that we may begin to see, begin to understand the hope that God has in us and for us and for the people of Reading. Can I just share one other perspective? And there's a measure where this is a little bit more encouraging, I think. Although I believe the other's right too. But I was asking the Lord, I was just standing there, it was on Wednesday, Thursday night. I said, Lord, how do we break out of this slumber? It may be, you know, we said, yeah, that's me. But what do we need to do? That's what I was asking the Lord. And I felt the Lord give me a picture of a chrysalis. And it's hard. And it appears dead. And there's no response, unaware of what's happening around on the outside. But something significant is happening on the inside. That fat grub, that caterpillar, all it used to do was walk slowly and just munch, eat whatever was in front of it. Wasn't a particularly spectacular role to play. And it certainly wasn't its ultimate purpose. God, if you spiritualize it, you know, there was something much more bigger and much more exciting than God had in mind for that caterpillar. And I was thinking, could it be that in some ways, we're a little bit like that first phase of life life can sometimes seem a little bit mundane. It can seem like it's hard work. It can seem quite ordinary, just eating green leaves all day. Then one day, I don't quite know how it happens, I'm not a biologist, but one day this caterpillar stops. It's like he goes dormant, and somehow or another, I have to read up the books, this hard shell forms round the caterpillar. It's gone dormant. A chrysalis is formed. And yet, this is the process to new life. I appreciate the analogy doesn't quite work, but hardness has come. There's a lack of spiritual sensitivity. Become unaware and unresponsive to the life of the Holy Spirit. I felt maybe this is a picture of us corporately more. We've become dormant. And I don't know how we get out of that shell. But those two E's are going to be required, effort and energy. There has to be a realization we've been born for more than this. The dormant season, there's a choice. I don't think every chrysalis becomes a butterfly. The dormant season either remains and it ends in death. And the thing just remains that hard shell and there's no life. Or it gives way to new life, new birth, and new beginnings. It takes patience, it takes faithfulness, it takes effort. The dreams of the future, I felt the Lord was saying, they may be on hold for now, but there's a new day coming. There's a new day coming. And then that crack begins to appear, and some legs and a body begins to appear, followed by two crumpled up wings. And God breathes breath, I guess, into the butterfly, and its blood flows through the veins, and the wings receive life. And that grub has now become this beautiful butterfly in all its glory. And now, this isn't simply earthbound. Now we're heavenbound. I felt just a picture of this is the natural, but now this is the spiritual. You've been given wings to fly. Wings to move in the spirit, a new dimension. That caterpillar, all he knew before was the highest little bit of grass that he was eating. But now he can look down on everything because wings have come and he's formed into a beautiful butterfly. And I just wonder, could that be also what God is wanting to say to us? For some, slumber has come before it should ever. We need to fight and we break out. And it may be seem a bit dormant now, and we need to begin to exercise energy and strength. But for others, maybe as a church, we're coming to that place where there's a breakthrough coming. We still need to work hard. There still needs to be effort. We don't know when that day will be, but something new and glorious will emerge, even seeming quite unrecognizable to the past. And I just wondered, maybe the finger of God is just holding back the harvest of souls, but it's going to be removed. An unprecedented blessing will flow to us and from us. And until that day, we're not going to despise the day of small things. We refuse to let the dream die. We believe the latter glory will be greater than the former. We're still holding on. The best is yet to come. And so I just wanted to share those two pictures with you as a bit of a challenge. One is, well, maybe in the purposes of God, there needs to be that time of re-beginning, reformation. A time when the old dies and in preparation for the new. But in the other sense, and I think of this more individually, we have to be open and prepared as individuals to say, Lord, are you still at work in me? Or is that spirit, that passion, that fire gone, which he wants to restore? I just want to close with just the story of Pastor Caesar, really. Became a pastor in Bogota. He grew his church to 120 people, and he could not go beyond that number. It was like there was a boundary, there was a shell. And on more than one occasion, probably out of frustration, he resigned his pastoral role. And he started again. And each time he started, it was like we get to 120 people, and that's as far as it went. And he knew that God's purpose was so much greater. He knew that 120 people weren't going to make such a big difference in the capital city of Colombia. And so he resigned again. And then he felt God say to him, if you're obedient to me, I'm going to use you to grow a church so big you won't even be able to count the number of people. He would see the multitudes. And he believed God. And 8 met in his home, became 30. 30 became 200. 200 became 1,000. Then tens of thousands. And now hundreds of thousands. And what they've pioneered through has seen the city blessed, because other churches also now have broken through that 120 barrier. And so there's churches all over Bogota now of tens of thousands of people. It wasn't always like that. Some of us are going to experience that atmosphere, that revival environment in a week or so's time. It's not always been like that. It wasn't there before. But because they pushed through with energy and effort, that caterpillar died, a butterfly began to emerge. And now, thousands, certainly hundreds, possibly thousands of souls are saved every week in the churches in Bogota. Hallelujah. They pushed through with faith and belief. They trusted God. They didn't accept that barrier. They worked hard. And the city is being conquered. 30,000 cells across the city of Bogota. A church of 200,000. And their influence has spread across the world. They've had to fight setbacks. They've had to work hard. I don't know any church that works as hard as they do. They've experienced disappointments. But they've conquered. And with faith and the spirit of conquest, they continue to rise up with a vision in their hearts to see their nation transformed. They even had cells in the presidential palace. And on one occasion, Jackie and I were there, I don't know who else was there. He was president 6 months earlier, but he'd been coming to the conference, and on that occasion, he publicly gave his life to the Lord. He said, I want to be Christian too. They are impacting the city within every level of society. And I want to say, church, it didn't used to be like that in Colombia. But they have been that spearhead to push it through. Maybe God's going to use us. Maybe we too could be a spearhead to push through. See blessing come to this town, along with our brothers and sisters from the other churches too. So, Life Spring, should we stand together? Don't let slumber and unbelief steal the dream of God in your heart. For your life or for this church. God has much greater plans. Have we got any keys? Thank you, Pete. Isaiah says, wake up. Wake up, O Zion. That's an Old Testament call. Church is Zion. Wake up, the people of God. Jesus called out, Lazarus, who died. Come forth. I believe God wants to speak into our hearts in those sort of ways. Wake up, O sleeper. Arise from the dead. Let God arise in you again. Let dreams be restored. Let hope be renewed. Let faith, let passion, let the Spirit come to life again, that we actually might be God's vessel, God's tool, for his praise and glory and for the blessing of this town and beyond. Church, there's too much at stake to just let it be. I want to say, be intentional. Determine whatever it takes. I'm going to break out of that chrysalis. I'm going to break out of that which is holding me back. I'm going to fulfill God's dream in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Just tying in with that, I just was reminded of something that I wrote down. It was September last year, but it's about positioning ourselves ready for what God wants to do. You know, sometimes it's too late. If you wait till it happens and you're trying to get on board the train that's moving, it's much harder than if you position yourself ready and then get on when it arrives, yeah? And one of the things, I know we use football analogies a lot, and I hesitate to do it, but it's what works for me sometimes. and these guys as well probably. But, you know, when a cross is coming, the footballer crosses it to the guy who wants to score the goal. He has to anticipate it. He has to be in the position ready to head it in or whatever. If he waits till the cross is in and then makes his move, it's too late. He's missed it. It's gone past. He's spent the time. He's worked out where it's going to go. He's positioned himself ready. And he has to get free of the defenders that are around him so that he's in space. You know, and sometimes there are things that are holding on to us we need to get free of so that we're positioned, so that we're ready. We're in the place ready, as I think Pastor Neville has been effectively saying this morning. So we need to determine in our hearts, I'm going to position myself. I'm going to get myself ready. I'm going to get free of the defenders so that when the time comes, when that finger is removed from those multitudes, we're ready, we're positioned, we're in the place, and it's not suddenly scampering around, but we say, yeah, bring it on, I'm ready.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Matt. So we're going to sing a song to close. John said, would I like this particular song? I said, I'd love it. Stand up and something. We're going to stand up. But I want to give you this opportunity. I want the LifeSpring ministry team to be busy this morning, because we're going to be honest in our hearts. And we're going to say, if it applies to you, I need to change. I need a soft heart. I need a heart, a spirit which is awake. I need to come alive. God has got much greater plans for me than I'm currently experiencing at this moment in time. And if that's you, the song's not going to be quiet, but I'd encourage you to come forward, and maybe at the end of the song, we'll be praying for everybody that comes. We'll be laying hands on everybody that comes forward, and we'll be expecting God to touch lives. That's just the first start. That's just the beginning. You've then got to keep hold of and keep on breaking out of that shell until we come to that place. For some people, it's just acknowledgement before the Lord. Yes, Lord, I'm not where I want to be. I'm going to come forward and acknowledge that. But we're going to pray for everybody that comes forward and believe that God wants to release life, wants to release passion, wants to deal with that slumbering spirit, that we might come alive to the purposes of God again. So let's sing this song together. James will come up later, but ministry team, if you're around, and if you want to respond, don't wait to the end. Come forward now. Can I just say one other thing quickly? Jackie and I just had a brief trip to Sweden, and we were there at the youth meeting, and they had an appeal, and nobody responded. Nobody responded. And then Pastor Leonard continued to share, and then gradually half a dozen people came forward for salvation and to recommit their lives to the Lord. And then at the end of the meeting, he said, and we've got some guests from the UK, and they're going to join the ministry team, and we're going to be praying for everybody that just needs a touch from God, just wants a touch from God. Slow response. But when I looked up, there was scores of youth eventually waiting just for a touch. And I said, what did you want prayer for? Just that this will be a good year. What did you want prayer for? Prayer for my family. What did you want? You know, all different things. But they came forward because they know that God is the answer. God's the one. Just going out the door isn't always the answer. But coming forward, God can release something. So don't have to wait. Come forward and we'll pray and see what God wants to do in our lives.